KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies, 35 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be sunny today, a high of 68. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In Southwest Iowa news, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports an Essex man was arrested Thursday evening. 39-year-old Richie Lundell was taken into custody following a traffic stop in the 2400 block of Highway 48 at around 4:50 p.m., Dial was charged with driving while suspended and no proof of insurance. He was then released on citations with bond established at $1,132. News time is 8:01.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
Well, the Cass County Sheriff's Office reported yesterday the arrest on Wednesday of an Oneida man. 36-year-old Sean Joseph Williamson faces a charge of driving under suspension. Williamson was taken to the Cass County Jail and released later that same day on $300 bond. Montgomery County Emergency Management Coordinator Brian Hammond reports of the burn ban, which has been in place in his county since March the 19th, officially ended a couple of minutes ago at 8 o'clock today. Conditions in Montgomery County have improved to where it is safe for residents to conduct controlled burns. Burn bans will remain in effect for Page, Mills, and Monona counties until further notice, however. A Northwest Iowa bar and bowling alley owner and one of her employees have been accused of setting a fire to collect insurance money. Authorities say 36-year-old Christina Manisil owned the Bud Z's Sports Bar and Grill and its bowling alley in Sheldon. The building housing them was declared a total loss after the blaze May the 15th of last year. She and 36-year-old Adam Sickles were arrested Wednesday and charged with two counts each of felony arson. O'Brien County jail records say both have since bonded out. Well, the City of Atlantic has received yet another Tree City USA Award. It's the 19th consecutive year Atlantic has qualified for the award. A new flag and a certificate designating the city as being tree-friendly was presented by Dolly Bergman to the City Council during their meeting Wednesday night, and also along with members of the local Trees Forever Committee that are tasked with making sure the city qualifies for the award and does its part to keep Atlantic green.
To qualify, a community must meet four standards established by the Arbor Day Foundation and the National Association of State Foresters. There should be a tree board or department for the city, and our tree board actually is the Atlantic Trees Forever group. A tree care ordinance, which you do have. A community forestry program with an annual budget of at least $2 per capita. And then an Arbor Day observance and proclamation.
She said one of the hardest requirements is keeping track of how much the city actually spends on its forestry or tree care budget, which must be at least $2 per capita, as mentioned. Parks and Rec Director Roger Herring, she says, helped out with that, and information provided by the Trees Forever also helped the city meet the requirement.
For the 2013 year, we did have expenditures of $14,822, so that qualified us. That's the key that helps keep the small communities being able to meet the requirement just as much as a large community. So that way, you know, someplace like Cedar Rapids, they've got to spend a lot more money than Atlantic does to become a Tree City USA.
And the Tree City USA flag will be hung on a pole located in the Atlantic City Park under a yet to be flown brand new American flag, which will replace a storm-tattered American flag. Bergman says this year the Trees Forever group will be working with Atlantic 4th graders on Friday, April 25th, which is Iowa's official Arbor Day, to plant a tree on the grounds of the Schuller Elementary School. In addition, each of the 4th graders will receive a tiny Norway spruce tree that they can take home, plant, and watch grow. Well, a meeting between a local historian group and township trustees was held Wednesday evening in Shelby County to discuss a pioneer cemetery. The Grove Township Trustees and the Western Iowa Pioneer Cemetery Association, or WPCA, held a group session at the Fire Hall in Erling with Shelby County Supervisor Steve Kengel as the moderator. The meeting was to gather the two groups together in order to find a solution to the Doyle Pioneer Cemetery in rural Shelby County. WPCA has been working on cleaning up rural cemeteries throughout Shelby and Harrison County, with Doyle being one of them. And however, the Pioneer Cemetery does not have a road so the association is only able to get to the cemetery when the crops aren't planted in the field surrounding the cemetery. So the first item on the agenda was the maintenance schedule for that cemetery. And Kinkle said the trustees' budget was set up for this year, but there is money to be had in order to keep up the maintenance at Doyle Cemetery, and trustee Mike Tremmel agreed.
I came into this thing that there was no money to be spent hardly. So my son and I used to mow those two north cemeteries, and they knocked us down from 3 mowings to 2 mowings a year back, 5, 6, 10 years ago when we did it. No thinking that there wasn't any money to be had. Well, now I'm finding out that there is money to be had.
Yeah.
So knowing that, we will mow them more often.
The discussion then moved on to the boundaries of the cemetery and where the fence will be placed. The trustees are currently working with the landowners on where the outlining area is for the cemetery. The biggest topic during the meeting was with regard to gaining access to the Pioneer Cemetery during the whole year, as opposed to twice a year as it is now. Kinkle then laid the groundwork on options for access to the cemetery. The first was leasing a portion of the land from the landowners, but he said they really weren't interested in that.
The main two reasons they're not interested in that is, one, because of liability, and number two, they do not think it's a long-term solution. If that's really our goal here.
The supervisor also stated that he had talked with the landowners about purchasing land, and one would be interested in selling about a half an acre or so for a lane from Highway 37 into the Doyle Cemetery. During the meeting, Kengel walked the group through what it would take in order for the lane to be established. In the report, the total cost, he said, would be between $20,000 and $30,000 for the half acre, new fencing, creating an approach off the highway, new gates at the cemetery, and installing a drop tube culvert and a berm over a washout area. Kengel said the plan would be something that WPCA could discuss and possibly implement in the fall.
And we're going to be looking at this fall to a year from now as a time frame when this could maybe get done and implemented. So it gives us some time to work on this if that's what you want to look at.
WPCA would have the opportunity to apply for and receive grant funding from organizations such as the Shelby County Community Foundation and Iowa West Foundation. WPCA members said at the end of the meeting that they will take the information that they received and discuss it among themselves as to what their next step will be. And more information regarding the Doyle Cemetery will be released at a later date. The Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission has rejected a Sioux City Riverboat Casino's challenge to renew its gaming license and has set July the 1st as the deadline for the gambling boat to shut down. Penn National Gaming, the parent company of the Argosy Riverboat Casino, had challenged the commission's decision last year to reject a one-year license renewal. The commission said it had issue with the Argosy's dissolving partnership with a nonprofit group. Iowa's casino gambling laws require casino operators to partner with licensed nonprofit groups that hold the license. Argosy's operating agreement with its longstanding nonprofit, Missouri River Historical Development, had expired in July of 2012. Well, following the commission's decision on Thursday, Penn National officials released a statement saying they were, quote, beyond dismayed by the decision. Taking a look now at world headlines on KJAN, pro-Russian insurgents are thumbing their noses at an agreement reached yesterday between Ukrainian and Russian diplomats in an effort to calm tensions between the country's shared border. The insurgents say they're not leaving the government buildings they've been occupying in more than 10 cities unless Ukraine's interim government resigns. The agreement requires the insurgents to leave those buildings. Prosecutors in South Korea say they're asking a court to issue arrest warrants for the captain of the ferry that sank 2 days ago and two other crew members. Investigators have been looking into whether a turn made too sharply caused the ferry to list and then sink. They're also investigating whether a quicker order to evacuate could have saved more lives and if the captain was among the first to abandon ship. At least 28 bodies have been recovered, but nearly 270 are still missing. And at least 12 Sherpa guides are dead in an avalanche this morning on Mount Everest. The cascade of snow hit the group as they were fixing ropes for other climbers who plan to scale the mountain early next month. Rescue workers pulled the 12 bodies from under mounds of snow and ice, and they're searching for three other guides who are missing. Another two were injured and flown by helicopter to hospitals in Nepal's capital of Kathmandu. KJAN News Time is 8:10.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
What?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Even though there are many ways to politely tell someone you didn't hear them, not being able to understand what people are saying to you is frustrating for everyone. Because hearing loss happens gradually, many times you and those around you develop coping behaviors to keep the communication flowing. Speaking louder, lip reading, and eventually the frequent request to repeat. But because those behaviors don't address the real source of frustration, your hearing loss, it can become a hearing problem for everyone involved. The best way to avoid the frustration is to recognize the real culprit and to take action. A hearing evaluation is the first step. Even if what you're experiencing is a very mild hearing loss and hearing aids are not needed, knowing what's going on allows you to stay on top of your hearing loss. No one wants a conversation that revolves around,
excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In our funeral announcements, Elda Gaskell, age 103 of Audubon, died Wednesday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Elda Gaskell will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at St. John's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Rolene Roll, age 82 of Stewart, died Monday at the Community Care Center in Stewart. Funeral services for Rolene Roll will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Don Lynam, age 92 of Indianola and formerly of Greenfield, died April the 6th. Memorial services for Don Lynam will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Village in Indianola. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Shirley Lou Nyson, age 79 of Minden, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Shirley Nyson will be on Monday at 10 o'clock at the Minden United Church of Christ. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Louise Holland, age 92 of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Memorial services for Louise Holland will be on Monday at 1:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield is in charge of the arrangements. And Herbert Hansen, age 89 of Brayton, died Wednesday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. A celebration of life service for Herbert Hansen will be held this coming Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. That is a check of the news brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Give them a call at 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.